You know, there is a parable that Jesus uses in Matthew the 13th chapter, I think it is. If I can find Matthew 13, if I hadn't moved it, there it is. Matthew 13. This story here is one about different soils here. And we've all heard that, but we need to sometimes go back and look at these stories again and kind of investigate them just a little bit. And I want to use this as an introduction. He starts in verse 18, therefore hear this parable of the sower. Okay? Now listen to this. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snares away or snatches away what was sown in the heart. That's where it goes, to the heart. This is he who receives the seed by the wayside. And then verse 20, it's talking about the second soil. But he who receives the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it in with joy. He hears it and he wants to follow it. All right, verse 21. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a short while. Just a short time. For when tribulation or persecution arises, because of the word, immediately he is one who stumbles. He's one who falls. He's one who the word does not retain there for him. Then verse 22. Now he receives the seed among the thorns. Is he who hears the word and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, choke the word, and listen to this, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who receives the seed on the good ground is he who hears the word. He hears this word, this seed, and understands it. It's not just hearing the word, but it's understanding that word. Understanding it, who indeed bears fruit and produces. Now listen to the production. Some 100-fold, some 30-fold. Now, this story is a very simple story. Jesus' parables were all not complicated. What he's trying to do here, I think, is to show how people receive the Word of God. And we all know this. We've all seen this if you've been a Christian very long. Those people that they hear the word and all of a sudden it's an exciting thing and so they're going to follow that. And they do. But it's not based on knowledge. It's just based on emotion. And it doesn't last very long. It lasts about as far as the emotions last. And then we see the other soils. That's sown there among the thorns and the thistles and it doesn't bear it. Some, Satan just takes it out of the way. And so here's these different hearts, these different soils where the Word of God is taken away from people. What does it take to really be faithful? What does it take to really hang in there? Now, a lot of people become Christians. And they say that within 5 years, if a person doesn't have their friends within the church, and they don't have at least 5 friends within the church, they're going to become unfaithful. Now you check it and see if it doesn't work. It really is true. Because we've got to be involved in that. And so what we're going to look at tonight is a very simple lesson, and it's not going to be long, so y'all can just rest assured of that. Okay? Did I go over this morning? You see, I don't have a watch, and I can't tell time, so no. I went over, but not much. But we need to understand how we can remain faithful. We need to understand how we can help other people to remain faithful. Because these here, we had one out of the four hearts or the four soils that was able to remain. The other three fell along the wayside. The other three died out. The other three didn't contain and they didn't keep on going. How do you do that? How do you really keep on going and not give up? Now, you say, well, we're all Christians. We've been Christians for a long time. We don't really need to know all that. We know how to do that. Well, don't think that we always do, because we need to look at it again, and that's what we want to try to do tonight. There are some special things that we've got to do, some simple things that are not complicated, not hard, unless you want to make them that way, but that we can understand. The reason that many people give up in their Christianity, the reason many people stop in their service to God, is because of a lack of faith. Now you say, now, that's understandable. If you had faith, you would remain faithful. And sometimes we think if we were able to see some of the miracles that Jesus performed, if we were able to see some of the things that He did, we would be able to just believe, you know. What if you were there when Jesus healed some of the paralytic people? Some of the people that were paralyzed, that couldn't walk, that hadn't walked in years. What if you were there when Jesus was walking and He healed this woman's son out of the coffin, we might say? Now, I know a lot of people say, man, I'd believe if I saw that. Well, I don't know if we would or not. Let's look at the example of Israel. Here are people who are able to see God and know God. In the book of Hebrews, in the third chapter, starting at verse 16, the Hebrew writer is trying to help people to understand about Israel and what caused Israel to fall. Now, the people he's talking about here are not their children, but the people who saw the miracles. They saw the 10 plagues. They saw God in all of His power and all of His glory in Egypt, and they saw the horse and the rider in the sea. They saw them as Egypt was totally defeated, not because of Israel, not because of their strength, but because of God. There's the power. There's the strength. And there's where it was. In verse 16, he speaks there and says, "For who having heard," they heard it, but they rebelled. Now, who are these people who heard this word, who not just heard it, but they saw it, but they rebelled? Now, what we can do is say, well, if those people were able to see that and they knew it was true and then they rebelled, how can we keep going? How can we maintain our Christianity? What we've got to do is to have a faith in God. Look in verse 18, "And to whom did He swear that He would not, that they would not enter into His rest, but to those who did not obey?" All right, now, here's people that heard that word. Hearing the word is a great thing. Listening to it is wonderful. But you've got to obey that word. And sometimes you obey it just because you say, "I'm going to do it because that's what I'm supposed to do." Now, we may understand, and later on we do understand a little bit better why we need to obey that. But what we've got to do is just obey God. Do what God said. And put ourselves in a situation of where we can grow. Verse 19, "So we see what they could not, why they could not enter, because of their unbelief." Now wait a minute, we're talking about Israel. We're talking about the people who saw the plagues. We're talking about people who saw, really, literally, almost God. They saw that mountain where He was. They saw His power in the clouds. They saw His power in the pillar of fire. They saw His power and His might when they were, you know, maybe a million people or something. Some say 200,000 to a million people. When they were given food and they didn't have to work for it. When they were given water and they knew where it came from. It came from God. They had all this. They saw all this. But they're people of unbelief? Yes, they sure are. We've got to have a faith in God. We've got to have a trust in God. And that's more than just the mental assent. That's more than just saying, well, we know this. It is being willing to trust in this. We are to be those people that we walk by faith. And that's what Paul told the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7, that you need to be people who learn to walk by your faith. You need to learn to serve God, to do His will, to do what He says. That's what you need to do. That's what I need to do. That's what we got to learn to do. And so Paul here goes on to help people. And if you go to 2 Corinthians 5, you start with verse 1 there. For we know that if this earthly house of our tabernacle is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands. Now see, those people, some of them were worried about losing their life. It's not like our times. Well, we can come and to worship and we don't have to worry about anybody punishing us. We don't have to worry about anybody arresting us. We don't have to worry about that. But in some countries today, they do have to worry about that. Aren't we fortunate? Aren't we blessed to be able to worship God and serve God and not worry about that? But here Paul is willing to say to those people, listen, if it costs you your life, remember, understand, you've got something besides just this body, just this house that we live in. You've got something other than just the riches that you have in this life. What you've got is a building that's not made by hands, a building that belongs to God, a building that God is going to construct. And what we've got to do is to believe that. Believe it so much that it will change the way we walk, the way we talk, and the way we live. It's got to do that. It's not just this thing of saying, well, you know, I believe. And then we can serve God a little and not serve God a little and do all that. But it's really being willing to give everything you have to Him. You see, when we look back at those souls, I hope sometimes we can see ourselves there. And we can see others so we can encourage others. Don't let the Word of God be taken away from you. Don't let it be stolen from you. Not necessarily by the government, but by the devil. And he takes many forms. And he takes the word out of our heart. And sometimes he talks us into not even putting it in our heart. He talks us into not even studying it, not finding out what it says, not finding out what this word says so that we can obey that. And Paul here is saying, listen, these things that we have done, we are those people that we're going to walk by faith. We're going to walk by obeying what God says. We're going to live our lives by doing what God says. We believe in God. And it's more than just a confession that we make one time, but it's a way of life. If it's just a confession, anybody can confess it. But living it is something else. And that's what he's encouraging these people to do. We need to be able to see the end of our faith. We need to be able to understand. Turn with me, if you would, to Philippians, the third chapter. In Philippians 3, Paul here is trying to help people to understand that they need to keep on going and they don't need to give up. They don't need to quit. He starts in verse 13, but I do not count myself to have apprehended. He said, I hadn't made it yet. I'm not as mature as I need to be. I haven't gained everything that I need to gain from God. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Can you forget your past? Can you forget the past things that maybe you did that were wrong? I've seen some people that couldn't get a past their past life. They couldn't understand that God could forgive them. They couldn't believe that God would forgive them of the sin that they had committed. And like David, their sin was ever before their face, and it was so big and so large that they couldn't even see God past that. They couldn't look and see a God that said, I'll forgive you, I'll blot out your iniquities, I'll blot out your sin. They couldn't see that. We there? Is that where we are? He said, I forget those things. What did Paul have to forget? He had to forget some people's screams that he heard when they hauled them out of their houses and they put them in prison. He had to forget that day that he stood there and those fellows said, listen, we'll throw rocks at that fellow over there if you'll hold our coats. And he did. And then he breathed out his threatenings. He had to hear people at night. How do you do that? How do you get over something like that? Paul said, what I've got to do is to see God and believe in God. Not see myself, but see God and not overlook God, because God has power. And He is so great. But, you know, have you ever taken your finger, and maybe you did this when you were a child, and you would take your finger and put it over something big, you know. I can put it over a person's head from where I'm standing right here. And I can just cover them up where you can't even, where I can't see them. All I can see is that ugly finger I got. Well, now my finger's not as big as they are. It's not as big as their head is. But it's my perspective. It's how close I am. If I get up real close to you and hold my finger up, I can still see a lot of your face. But if I step back from you, and the farther I get back, the easier it is to cover you up. The easier it is to cover God up. The easier it is to overlook God and see one little bitty thing, and we don't see God at all. We miss Him. Paul said, let me tell you something. I haven't gone far enough yet where I can't see God. And when I see God, I don't see my little finger. I don't see my little sins. I don't see my little iniquities. I see a God who wants to forgive me. I see a God who cares for me and wants to help me. Paul here is saying, I want you to understand that. He said, verse 14, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. He said, I keep on going. I think every one of us at times in our lives get to the point where we say, let's quit. Now that may not be a nice thing to say, but that's where we are sometimes. We get loaded down with all our problems, all our troubles, all our difficulties, and they are just so waiting on us and just push us to the ground. And we think, why? What we got to do is remember God's still there. And God still cares, and God still wants us. Paul said, I'm pressing on. I'm not going to give up. I don't care what I've done, God can forgive me. And He can do that. And I'm going to keep on going no matter what. Therefore, verse 15, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. God can help us if we're willing to listen to what His Word has to say to be able to believe. That's the reason He gave us the Word, so that we could believe. Now, if Paul can have those times when he's weighted down, if he can have those times when sin is feels so great on him, and he said on one occasion, not only do we have the cares of the world in helping other people outside the church to understand the gospel, but we've got the cares of the church daily, the problems, the difficulties, the hurts. But he said, we can't quit. We can't give up. Had a young preacher to call me this afternoon. He's ready to hang it up. He's ready to give up. And I feel sorry for him in one way. But in another way, I want to tell him, suck it up. Did you think this job was going to be easy? Did you think this job was going to be simple? That you weren't going to have times when your faith is challenged? I don't care if you're an elder or an elder's wife, or a preacher's wife, or a deacon, or a member, whoever you are, you're going to have those times. And what we have to do is to realize we can't give up. And when we do give up, what we're showing is a lack of faith in God. And we need to get that faith in God. We need to have that trust in God. We need to have that in a great way. Revelation 21, Paul here is talking to some people, is here telling some people through Jesus, or Jesus Christ through him, some things about heaven. And listen to what he said. Talking about those that were going to be lost. Now look who he mentions first. Anybody want to tell me who he mentions first? Say it. Fearful. cowardly. Why does he put those first? Why does he mention that first? Then he says the unbelieving. And he goes on with his list. You know why I think he mentions that? And certainly that's just an idea. But I think he mentions that because he knows that we're afraid. How many people could be stronger in the faith if they just weren't afraid? How many people could stand up and speak up and teach a class and do this and do that because they weren't afraid? We glory in these young men and young ladies who are able to get up and speak. You know why? It'd scare us to death. But we can do that. But it takes courage. And here he's saying, the writer of Revelation is saying, Jesus Christ is saying, listen, it's a lack of courage. It's the fearful that are going to be lost. What are we afraid of? Failure. But if we're afraid of failure and we do nothing, what do? We fail. And we don't need that. So here, we've got to have the courage. We've got to have the courage to keep on going. How courageous do you think it took for Caleb in Numbers 13 to stand up and say, wait a minute, whoa. I know those guys are big. I know they're powerful. I know they're mighty over in that land of promise. But with God's help, we can take the land. It took courage. You ever had to stand up and say something when you were the only one that had to speak and other people were going to look at you? And maybe you've got to disagree with the whole crowd. And you've got to say, I can't go to that movie. I can't do this. I can't do that. And you can't say, because my mama won't let me. You've got to take it on yourself and say, it's because I don't think it's right. Now, we can say, and you say, well, I wish the young people was here to hear that. Let me tell you something. As adults, we're not much better. We're not much better. We're afraid to speak up. We're afraid to speak out. We're afraid to do those things. And here Caleb stood up and he said, no, we can take the land. They may be big, but we've got God on our side. It takes courage to do that. And he had that courage. We need to be people that we don't give up, that we're going to go on no matter what. We've got a tenacity about us that we're going to serve God and do God's will. It doesn't make any difference what happened or what is done. And usually we think about, somebody came in here and said, either confess your faith or die. Oh, all of us would confess our faith. I don't know about that, to be honest with you. And let me tell you something, that probably will never happen to us, but what about tomorrow morning when you got to get up and go to work or go to school or do the housework or whatever else you got to do? That takes courage to do that every day. Sometimes it would be easier to have somebody to hold a gun to our head and us have to confess our faith than it would be to live day by day by day serving God, doing His will, and believing in Him. We got to keep on going no matter what, and we're not going to stop. In Luke, the 9th chapter, in verse 51, Jesus knew that when he went to Jerusalem, he was going to have to go to the cross. But he went anyhow. You say, but he was the Son of God. Let me tell you something. He was also the Son of Man. He also had the problems just like we do. I talked with a preacher one time. He said, I don't think Jesus ever had to decide whether he was going to do right or going to do wrong. And I'm thinking, that's the whole purpose of it all. For him to show that you can decide to do what's right. He said, he could call 10,000 angels down and overcome. He could, but he didn't. He went to the cross. He suffered those things, knowing what was going to happen. He did that. Boy, the Hebrew writer talks about how humble he was in doing that, and it was. Here's the Son of God with the power to stop people from doing that which is wrong, but he went ahead and went along with it. because of his love for everybody else, his care, his concern. That's what Jesus Christ did. He had that. We can see that we've got to be able to overcome the obstacles in our life. And they are many. And they're there. We think about our past, but we also think about, well, somebody smarter than I am. We think about other people and they've got this or they've got that and they can do this. But you know, what we got to do is decide we're going to be a child of God. And it's not an easy thing to decide. Now you say, well, yeah, it is. Well, let me ask you something. How many times have you ever been on a diet and you've decided, I'm not going to eat as much as I eat at that last meal? Now, we decided that. Did we really decide that? Oh, yes, we did. But the problem comes in doing that day in and day out. There's not a one of us that can't lose weight if we want to. But the problem is, we forget that. And we forget what we've decided to do. And then after we get through eating that big old meal, we think, oh, wait a minute, I decided I wasn't going to do that. What we got to do is decide, I don't care what it is, we're going to do it. We're going to do what God wants us to do. We're going to overcome everything we've got to overcome. We've got to do that. I'm told now, listen to these figures here. A lady fixes two meals a day. That's 50. How many meals is that a year? If you cook two meals a day, that's 104. Is that right? Y'all are already gone on me again. Okay. It's 104. Anybody with math that don't like that, just talk to me later. Now, ladies, what if you got to plan 104 meals tomorrow? Can you do that? They say McDonald's, Hardee's. We got those meals planned. Colonel Sanders, yeah, okay. Got to get a little grease in there to keep us going. Well, you know, you think about that and you get discouraged. I've got to fix 104 meals this year. What am I going to do? You know what we got to do? Tomorrow, all you got to do is two meals. And for some of us, it's just one. Of course, I start mine at 7 in the morning and I quit about 11 at night. But, you know, if you think about all you've got to do, if you think about all this thing of Christianity, if you think about all you've got to do to be faithful, it gets you so discouraged. Don't think about that. All you got to do is to be faithful for one more day. That's it. That's all we got to do. But now that's not an easy thing to do. Because the devil's coming in to take that word out of our heart, to take that word out of our life, to put those other problems there, the other obstacles in our way, you never have one problem. You never do. Have you ever thought about it? When you have a problem, you're going to have at least three or four of them at the same time. You may go for a while without any, but then you're just loaded down with them. What we've got to do is to be able to overcome and overcome those obstacles. We've got to be able to win over that. In telling the story that Jesus had for us, we've got to understand that we've got to be able to overcome those difficulties. We've got to be able to do that. Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow because tomorrow has got enough to deal with. Think about today. Think about the rest of this day. All you got to do is to be faithful until 7 o'clock in the morning. You say, wait a minute, that's kind of silly. No. And then you start at 7 and you work on another day. And you keep on going. Isn't that what Jesus said in Matthew 6 and verse 34? Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry, about its own things. There'll be enough tomorrow to worry about. Don't pack it up. And I'm going to tell you, sometimes that's not an easy thing to do. We just keep thinking about this and this and this. And what we got to do is to keep coming back to God, to God, to God. What's our goal? Remaining faithful, serving God, and doing His will. That's what we got to do. Listen, if we remain faithful for a day, and we keep on trying to be faithful, and we're not going to be perfect in it, and we all know that. But listen to what Paul said. He said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Therefore, because of that, there is a crown laid up for me in heaven. Let me tell you something. Every one of us can go to heaven if we want to. And the devil, he can't take that word away from you unless you allow him to do that. Did you notice those different soils, how that they did not cooperate, the different hearts did not cooperate in the Word of God? That the Word of God was there, and if they had taken it in, if they had brought it in, and they had lived it out, not let all the cares of the world choke them out, not let the sun burn it up, not let Satan get it, then they could have the bounty.